So what we're doing here this morning is what has been our habit for years. When there's a conference and men go to the conference, when we get home, those who are willing get to share for a moment or two, anywhere from 3 minutes to 15 minutes, about a passage, a sermon from the conference that blessed them while there. My only regret from this past conference is that there weren't more of you with Liam and I. And my wife. It's open to men and women. Lord willing, next year more of you will be able to join in. Because as it has always been for myself, my wife, it was a great blessing and encouragement and joy to be there. To be among brothers and sisters who are like-minded, serving Christ and His church, and to hear His Word, Christ's Word preached and Christ exalted through the different speakers who have different personalities and different styles. Thank you for allowing me to go and for seeing the priority and the value in that. And again, I pray that next year more of us will be able to join in on that since it's not very far away. One of the ways in which I'm always encouraged, of course, as a shepherd, an elder, as a pastor in a local church, is to hear from other pastors, shepherds, elders from other churches, and to find out things are just as hard for them, just as difficult for them, as it is for me or us here. And that was true again this time around. Two of the speakers were from other states. One introduced himself as coming from the free state of Florida. The other introduced himself as coming from the free state of Nevada. And by free, they're referring to the fact that at least from the government level, there was no mandating of restrictions on meeting and masks and such things. And yet, they face the same kind of trials and difficulties as a church over these past year and a half, 2 years, with all of the passions about politics that have flared and flowed, and all of the opinions and passions about whether or not you should meet and wear a mask or not wear a mask. One of the brothers there, Scott, from the free state of Florida, as he introduced himself, church in just above Daytona, though they were allowed by the government to continue to meet, they still had plenty in the church, in the community, and even in the newspaper calling them unloving for continuing to meet. So these brothers and their wives and their brothers and sisters in these churches across the country, regardless of state, the state they were in, faced the same kind of pressures and challenges and opportunities for division that we have. And so, as Liam mentioned earlier, the theme of the conference was press on, to press on in Christ. And to press on means there must be activity and effort. And without that, there is stagnation, if not failure. And churches have buckled, as one brother put it. They have buckled over these times. And I won't get into how or why or what that means and what that looks like. But one of the sermons took us to Ephesians, one of my favorite letters. And we looked at two things from Ephesians that the church needs to keep in mind and actively apply in order to press on and not buckle. The first comes from, well, it's in a number of places in Ephesians, but it's in Ephesians 1, just to go in order, which I like doing that. But it comes up in Ephesians 4 also. But it's right there in Ephesians 1, which was read for us earlier. During the prayer towards the end of chapter 1, prayer for the Christians, to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of their hearts enlightened to know what is the hope to which He is called, verses 18. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? Verse 19, what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things under His feet, the His there is Christ. God the Father put all things under the feet of Christ and gave Him, that is Christ, head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all and all. Brothers and sisters, we must know and never lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ is our head. He is the head of the church. Not Spurgeon, not MacArthur, not Gavin Newsom, not Trump, not Biden, not Fauci, not me, not anyone or anything in America, nor in England, nor anywhere else in all of history. Our risen head is Jesus Christ. Some of you may have found out recently that Grace Community Church Sun Valley was awarded $400,000 because they battled the state over being able to stay open during COVID and meet. And in some ways, there's vindication there, right? But let me ask you this. Were they right for keeping their doors open and meeting during COVID because the courts have now said they were right? No. Are there issues and things that come up that are more difficult to discern through and figure out? And maybe they're gray. I've referred to this before because as we step out of our context, it can help us kind of wrestle with things sometimes. But in the 1700s, to leave the Church of England or not? That is the question. Some did, some didn't. There are times when there are more difficult issues to figure out and sift through. Do you call the authorities that they will come get your neighbor because your neighbor is a Jewish? No! But what about where it started? Do you call the authorities because your neighbor didn't put a yellow star on their outer clothing? We must always go back to our head. Because apart from our head, we're dead. The question is, are we hens or horses? Like, huh? Chickens can run around without their head. Chickens can run and it seems have their head facing any direction. No one says don't run around like a horse without its head. And unless it's a cartoon, you don't see a horse galloping forward, full steam, pressing on with its head turned back. The exhortation here, dear brothers and sisters, is please, please go to your head. Sit at the feet of your shepherd who shed His blood and was raised from the dead and has been given headship over you as His church. We don't have a choice. Our co-workers talk. Family members talk. Neighbors talk. You're putting gas in your car and the gas pump is talking. And you go to Walmart if you absolutely have to. And there's talking. And it's coming at us constantly. Ideas and opinions. Priorities. Values. It means you need to listen to your head all the more. Sit at His feet. Turn off Netflix. Listen to the Word read. You have apps. You have the interweb. That's the internet. All these resources that our brothers and sisters in Philippines and India who are locked down do not have. Take advantage of them. What you and I need to hear more than anything else is our Savior. We need to hear from our head because we can't follow Him if we don't know His voice. even the Ephesian church, Paul spent years with them, wrote a letter to them. They, as Christians, needed prayer that they would understand and know the depth, the breadth, the extent of God's love for them in Christ, their head. And they would know the power of God, the Holy Spirit at work in Him, the same power by which God raised Jesus Christ, our head, from the dead. We must press on. There is no cruise control. One of our cars is a stick shift. You put it in neutral and it just keeps rolling. That doesn't happen in the Christian life. You and I, we need to hear from our head more than we hear from anyone else, including the thoughts that go around in our own head. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, "And now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Our head is our shepherd. Our souls need constant care. And we receive that from our head. As you have to evaluate the things coming up in your days, your weeks, your month, as you make plans, you can't do all things. Will you do this? Will you do that? Will you go here? Please consider carefully your days and your hours and make the best use of the time while it is still day. Take every opportunity to sit at the feet of our head and hear from Him. Christ is the head of the church. When we lose sight of that, we will cease to press on, go astray, buckle, flail, and fail. The other thing that Christ is for us, His church, that we must not lose sight of and has an application, is He is the heart as well as the head, if you will. The word heart isn't there, but if you turn to chapter 4, verse 16, 15, to show you who the whom is in 16, that we'd grow up in every way into Him who is the head, there it is again, into Christ. So Christ our head, from whom the whole body, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, if you're looking at NAS or ESV, you follow this. From whom the whole body, so Christ, from whom the whole body, now jump to that last comma, makes the body grow. That was there in 1 Corinthians 2 also. He is not only the head, but He is the one that makes the body grow. So what we call Him here, I said heart, because the heart pumps the blood. It's the blood. You're not connected. No blood, no growth, just death, atrophy. Kind of a gross story, but bear with me. It might have been kindergarten. I've had these really old memories come back ever since the fire. It's the strangest thing. But I remember one day we lined up, because that's what you did to go places. We lined up, and the teacher noticed that one of the kids, I don't remember, but I'm sure it was a boy, had wrapped a rubber band around his finger so many times it made it so tight his finger was turning dark blue. And the teacher quickly grabbed a scissor, I'm guessing one of the kids' scissors or something, but somehow was able to get the rubber band off so his finger could have the blood flowing to it again. What would happen if you did not remove that rubber band? No blood flow to it, it would atrophy. It would become dead. That's exactly what happens to us Christians when we fail to meet and minister to one another. Look at this passage again in chapter 4. Back up, verse 12. Certain gifts are given by Christ to His church, verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. We're not Catholic. Saints means every Christian. Not a special class. Holy ones, believers. Certain gifts are given to the body to equip all the believers. What does it say there? For the work of ministry. You know what that means? Each Christian is to be a minister. One of the many reasons why I asked you, please don't call me Reverend. No one has, thank you. Or even pastor. Don't give me a special title. If we're going to call each other by the gifts that we have, then let's do that for everyone. Right? Each Christian is to be a minister. Servant. Involved in ministry. Building one another up. Back now again to verse 16. So that when that is happening, what is happening is that Christ is pulsing through us to one another. That the body is built up and there is life. Apart from the meeting and the gathering and the ministering and fulfilling the one another's, there will only be atrophy. They turn dark blue and die. The church must not lose sight of its head. We must not lose sight of our head, listening to Him and following Him. And we must not forget that He flows through us and builds us up as we minister to one another and build one another up. Let me ask you this question. If you left Grace Church for whatever reason, good, bad, neutral, if you left Grace Church, would there be the power of Christ, blood spurting out into nothing? Would there be something missing? Would there be a hole? There should be. There's no indispensable body part. But any body part can atrophy. I had a conversation with a young man this week because he called the office, left a message. I called him back. He's trying to understand the relationship between salvation and works. He mentioned Ephesians 2, so I took him there. 2, 8, and 9. You know those verses, don't you? Someone say them. What does 2, 8, and 9 say? Not of works, no one should boast. What does verse 10 say? Yeah. Little preposition. Right, Abby? Little preposition. We're not saved by... She was in my Bible class at school, and I told them the little words are critical. We're not saved by good works. We are saved for good works. And as we are engaged in those good works, do good to all, especially those of the household of God, as we meet and we minister, the power of Christ by His Holy Spirit is flowing through us to one another. He causes the growth. He builds up. But only as that happens. Now, if you end up with your arm in a cast, especially one that goes past your elbow, and you can't move it for a while, and it's a full hand cast, say, and you can't really move your hand, when you get it off, you have to do what? Rebuild it. Physical therapy. Because you have not been using it. Brothers and sisters, are you morbid or are you alive? Where, what is your ministry to Christ's body? You say, well, COVID. Do you understand that in the letters in the New Testament, their lives were in danger for not calling Caesar Lord? For holding to an illegal religion? What is your ministry? You say, well, I'm not an upfront person. I can't this and I can't that. I mentioned this before. I'll mention it again. I still miss Barbara. None of you know who Barbara was. Legally considered blind. But she built the body up. She prayed for the body. She was there at everything that the body did because she could, if she could get a ride. She was generous, wanted to be with people. Your ministry can take on various forms and shapes and sizes, and at times the amount of time and effort you can minister with will ebb and flow, but it must always be going. Every Christian is to be a minister. That's the body of Christ. And as we meet and as we minister, Christ is at work through us, causing the growth, building up. Built up into Him, our head. Whether things continue as they have been, or they get worse, or they get better, makes no difference. 50 AD, 500 AD, 1500 AD, wherever, whenever, as God's people, we must not lose sight of who our head is. It's the risen one. And it's Him we must listen to. That our minds would be transformed instead of conformed. And it's by His grace and power at work in us and through us that we must continually minister and serve. That rigor mortis wouldn't set in. That we would press on. Knowing that which will never end has yet to begin. But it's coming. It's coming. Christ will return. And wherever or whenever we lived, if we are in Him, He is our life. Our direction, our purpose, our marching orders, they don't change. We can join Him for the joy set before us and press on, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Hebrews 12. Join me in prayer. Father, it has been extra easy this past year and a half, 2 years, 2.5 years to be distracted, caught up in the many voices, the many debates. Father, thank You for Your Word, that in it we can hear You, Jesus Christ. Father, grant us to hear and to believe. Do not let us turn to the right or to the left. May Your Word be to us sweeter than honey. More important than our daily bread, our next meal. And may You grant us through Your Spirit powerfully at work in us to press on and continue to follow our head, cling to our head, Jesus Christ, and lead and minister and build one another up into our head, Jesus Christ. May we individually, because we together, continue to press on by Your grace and for Your glory. Grant this, Lord God, to our great blessing, for our joy, and for Your honor and praise among us, among this town, this state, this country, among every tribe and tongue. May Christ be exalted. In Jesus' name, amen.